Can American sovereignty, as designed by the founders and the Constitution, in any way be undermined by emergency measures to fight alleged man-made catastrophic global warming? Somebody might ask, why do I care about this issue? I care about this issue because it is bankrupting the country, it's bankrupting the future, and the goofy thing about the whole thing, it's all based on questionable premises. You know, if you have an argument, you've got premises that build up to your conclusion. But if the premises are wrong, then your conclusion is going to be wrong. Well, in a recent article, to which we'll link, author and critic of climate alarmism, Steve Gorham, writes this, quote, "People in developed nations take abundant electricity for granted. When asked where electricity comes from, most will point to their wall outlets. But many states in the U.S. are headed for a serious and prolonged shortage of electrical power not seen in decades, driven by rising demand from the artificial intelligence revolution and mandates to adopt green energy." End quote. Steve Gorham is executive director of the Climate Science Coalition of America. He's the author of four books on energy, climate change, and sustainable development. He has more than 100,000 copies in print, and his latest book is called Green Breakdown, The Coming Renewable Energy Failure. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and we welcome Steve Gorham back to the program. Steve, thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, Jerry, great to join you again.
Sure. This really is an important issue because it's almost as if the American economy, the American constitutional system, in effect, is being hijacked by this, you know, the need to fight this existential threat. And, you know, at the end of the day, is it really a threat? And, you know, from what I understand from your research and many others as well, no, it's not what they're making it out to be. It's not the threat they're saying it is.
No, it isn't. Earth's temperatures and Earth's climate are dominated by natural factors. The solar system, the atmosphere, the biosphere, and the oceans are what dominate what happens to Earth's temperatures, not emissions of carbon dioxide from our industry, which are really a very small part of everything. But regardless of that, we are just about to get clobbered in this nation by a terrific imbalance between the electricity that we can provide and the electricity that is going to be demanded. And this has just kind of sneaked up on our country and the world in the last year. And it really is a big, big factor. So if we've got a few minutes, I can take you through what's about to happen.
Please do. Please do. And let me just, if I could just read from your own article. For 20 years, U.S. electrical power policy has been dominated by efforts to try to mitigate global warming believed to be caused by human greenhouse gas emissions. In 2021, President Joe Biden called for achieving a 100% carbon-free electric sector by 2035. You went on to say that 23 states have already enacted statutes or issued executive orders to achieve net zero electricity by generation by 2050. So explain to us these two deadlines in question, 2035, 2050, and what are the potential ramifications or, you know, what's the fallout if those goals were to be achieved? And you obviously question, no, they shouldn't even strive for those goals.
Right, they shouldn't, and it's not going to occur. But the net zero program basically says we need to get rid of all coal, oil, and natural gas that we're using and replace it with wind, solar, and biofuels. But today, for example, we use like 91% of global transportation comes from fuels from oil, another 4% from natural gas, about 1% from electricity, about 3% from biofuels. That's just one example of the tremendous dependence we have on hydrocarbon fuels, coal, oil, and natural gas. Now, in the U.S. in 2023, we got 59% of our electricity from natural gas and coal, about 43% of that natural gas, the biggest share, coal about 16%. Wind and solar was only about 14% together. Nevertheless, President Biden has said that by 2035, we need to get rid of that 59% of our power, natural gas and coal. And 23 states have signed up to this, and they have goals in various years, 2040, 2045, 2050, to try and get rid of the natural gas and coal.
Or can, wait, let me, if I could interrupt you. In a sense, what he's trying to say is, okay, so wind and solar provides 14% now. Let's increase it to roughly, 100% or whatever. In other words, yes. But can it even be done? Is that realistic? Can it work?
Really. Now, what's been happening for the last two decades, U.S. electricity demand has been basically flat at about 4.1 million gigawatt hours. For two decades, it hasn't really changed. And so during that period, we have closed about 60% of our coal plants, more than 200 coal plants. And at the same time, solar and wind have gone from about 1% up to about 14% over those since about the year 2000. Natural gas has risen even more. It's gone from about 16% in the year 2000 up to 43% of our electricity now. And so they've been reducing the amount from coal and gas. The problem now, though, is we're going to have a big ramp in demand. And that is going to make it impossible to try and achieve these green goals for our electricity supply.
So why the increase in the demand?
Yeah, there's actually four big drivers of demand. Three of these are from the green goals. One of them, of course, is the push to go to electric vehicles from gasoline or diesel-powered vehicles. And we now have 17 states with zero emissions vehicle mandates, and those go between 2035 and 2050. The EPA has also passed rules that are calling for between 40 and 60% of all new car sales to be electric vehicles by 2030. Now, whether that's going to happen, probably not. We've just had a big speed bump, which you can talk about in the EV markets. But the second big demand driver is electric appliances. We have a number of cities and counties around the country that are banning natural gas in new construction. They say you can't have a gas furnace or a gas water heater or a propane stove or a gas stove. New York City is the biggest metropolitan area that has said that is putting mandates in place saying you can't build gas anymore into new housing. Now, this can be pretty big. In New England, for example, where we use a lot of natural gas and propane, the New England independent system operator, who's in charge of the electric grid, has estimated that a transition to electric appliances in New England would actually use more electric power than switching to electric vehicles. So it could be a pretty big deal depending on where you are. I'll give you a chance to interject here if you want.
Well, I do. I mean, in effect, what you're saying is that their goals are contradicting each other. And it's very unrealistic. And what's going to happen? Well, here's your last paragraph of your article. The biggest impact will be on efforts to transition to a net zero electrical grid. The green energy transition will be sacrificed in favor of generating enough electric power. But how many people have to suffer in the interim? And by the way, I'm so grateful I live in Florida. Thank you, Ron DeSantis, and people, with common sense that are, looking at these situations and not saying, oh, you can't have a gas stove or a gas water heater, gas-powered water heater. And yet you were showing how earlier the gas is very important.
Yeah, so I still got to get to the big driver, though. These are just the little ones that I've mentioned. The third I'm going to be brief on, and that's a push for green hydrogen to run industry on rather than natural gas. The government is doing that. But the fourth big one that is bigger than these other three green goals is what's going on with the artificial intelligence revolution. We have folks like Alphabet and Meta and Apple and Amazon that are building data centers all over the country. And these things are huge. They're multi-acres in size, and they use vast amounts of electricity. Now, today we have about 2,500 data centers in the United States, and they use 4% of our electricity, but they are being upgraded to run very high-speed processors to be able to do artificial intelligence. And when you upgrade the servers that are in these data centers to do AI, then they use 6 to 10 times more power. And so today, data centers take about 4% of U.S. electricity, but within the next decade, that may go as high as 20% of all of our electricity. And so this has really taken a lot of people by surprise. For example, I'm going to give you a quote here from a guy in Georgia, if I can find it here. He is the guy's name is Jason Shaw. He's chairman of the Georgia Pacific Service Commission. And he said, quote, "When you look at the numbers, it is staggering. It makes you scratch your head and wonder how we ended up in this situation. How were the projections that far off?" He's talking about electricity demand projections. "This has created a challenge like we've never seen before." And so they're trying to build these data centers. And for example, in Virginia, which is next to Washington, near Washington, these companies want to build these data centers, and they say, "We need a gigawatt of power." Well, that's like a nuclear plant. Okay, I need to go find a nuclear plant somewhere, and it takes about 20 years to build these nuclear plants. But we have issues in New York right now, in Ohio, in Georgia, in Virginia, in California, Texas, the Pacific Northwest. All these growth numbers are off the charts. And so we're just not going to have enough electricity in the next decade, and the regular citizens are going to feel this in a big way.
Do you see that there would be a situation like where there would be blackouts, where there would be so-called brownouts? I think brownouts are the kind of situation where it's almost like, you know, in any given set of the day, they'll have to rotate where the power is. I've even heard about there are some planned things like that already in California because of, frankly, boneheaded policies all, you know, based on the Green New Deal.
Well, that's true. California doesn't have enough electricity that they can switch on demand. Come August, about 20% of the electricity in California is from solar until about 6 or 7 at night, and then it all goes away. And if you have something else that isn't working, then you have to institute brownouts or blackouts to keep the system from going down. Texas, in February of 2021, had lethal blackouts. Power was off to 4.5 million residents in Texas for 72 hours, and somewhere between 200 and 700 people died, depending on estimates. That's more than every hurricane in history except one. But another, so we're going to have brownouts, but another factor is...
In other words, people froze to death. They froze to death because they didn't have enough electricity. They didn't have enough electricity because they were relying on, you know, the wind and the solar power and so forth. We have 1 minute left.
Okay, we had 1 minute left. So anyway, I talk about this in my book, Green Breakdown, The Coming Renewable Energy Failure. And it goes through the complete transition from power plants to home appliances to EVs to heavy industry, heavy transportation. It's a great color paperback. People can get a copy at stevegoreham.com, G-O-R-E-H-A-M. I'll send them a signed copy, or they can get ebooks. It's on Amazon as well. But the Green Revolution is going to be stopped in its tracks by this demand for artificial intelligence. And we're going to see this all come to a screeching halt.
But the weird thing is how many people, you know, will suffer in the process. You know, when you think about it, self-government under God, self-rule under God, that's what the founders gave us. But when you have these, you know, ideas that are saying, well, you know, we need the Green New Deal, in effect, it sort of undermines the whole constitutional process. Thank you so much for all the books you've got out there. I already bought one of them online, stevegoreham.com, for more information. Thanks, Steve. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry.